We made a wrong turn and we were stuck on a desert island with 42 other students, and only one of us is making it out alive. It's kill or be killed. Supplies are running low and tensions are running higher than our student loan debt. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast.
Oh.
Welcome to the Wrong Turn Podcast.
You're right. I'm out. I'm dead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a horror comedy podcast where me and Courtney here, I am Edgar, and we talk about horror movies for the fun of it.
Hello.
Do we make any money? No.
We will.
We like,
stop.
But
it.
We like doing this. And
we
we're,
do.
We're going to keep doing it. And we got like something like 50 episodes, Courtney. We're in it.
We're almost to 50. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think I need to go through and do a count. But maybe we are at 50.
Well, there's all those episodes that we lost.
Yeah.
So, like, we've definitely lost
correct.
At least
we've definitely five. Recorded well over 50 probably at this point. But you're right. There's lost episodes.
We almost lost the last one, but we were able to. We couldn't salvage the video, but we could salvage the audio. So yeah. That was good. But today, well, first of all, Court, how are you?
Yeah.
Update.
Doing well. We were just making a joke about like how many different houses will I just be in? You never.
No, this is
where
your.
Going to be.
This is your Tuesday house. This is you have
Tuesday house.
Only for Tuesdays because the lighting's good. Nice.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I need to go to my Tuesday house because it has excellent art and good lighting.
I am getting relaxed by looking at that background. Like I feel good, which is weird. So
it's,
I
told you, I was like, I spent the first hour in this home today just walking around looking at art. I was like, it's a museum. Like,
dope.
It's so cool. And it's just one of my new clients who's really dope. And I'm like, all right, we're moving up in life.
Not bad. Great. That was good. I like that. I don't know. It's very, I think I know that piece maybe.
Yeah. Often, like I said, I will send you a few pictures of like my favorite ones.
We want to do that. We want to make our new place a very art central place without having the kids tear it apart.
That's tricky because you do have a little one, but like you and Ming both are great collectors and have your own separate, like different styles, but similar styles. Like there's a few pieces of Ming's that I know that I just like love. Like I love that fried egg. I think that's one of the most recent ones she's added.
Yeah, she could see it right here. We have an epoxy fried egg on the wall right there.
So cool.
Next to our logo. That's our logo, guys. This is a piece of corn.
The corn is dope.
Corn.
I inherited the cupcake when you guys moved.
Cupcake's nice.
The cupcake's cool.
We've seen a couple things. I think she's also, I got her the hot dog, which
yes.
This is some ice cream. And there's a hot, giant hot dog over here. And then I also bought her, there's the MoMA design store. And there was actually, I was actually going to buy it because I liked it a lot. And all of a sudden, then I showed it to her and she's like, I've been wanting that drawer for like years. So then
was it the cool file cabinet thing?
Yeah, we
got
it.
She mentioned that.
Sturdy. And that was a bad day, but when it came in, but
yeah. No, because she told me about the bad day, but then on top of that was like this really cool thing that you got her, which is cool.
But there's also these. They're like these pop art thing, like
yeah.
Vases and ceramics that we found like a whole collection of. And they're super dope and they're all different shapes and different colors and stuff like that. And I really liked it. I felt like I was buying art. So I was just like, okay, I guess I could put a flower in it. But, you know, I just like the colors and the shapes. Yeah. Yeah, real life horror update. I was sick for a while, like a week and a half. And then Ming just got over being sick. And then we had a little bit of a turmoil with our house or location and whether we could be here or not. And then that was a huge thing on the week we were supposed to record. And it's just been a little bit of a up and down battle for a little bit. But I think we're in an okay place right now. So hence, I got some time to record.
Yes.
So we're back. We're trying to get back on track, guys. And technically, this is my birthday episode from last week.
It is.
But
you are 40.
I love recommend. Yeah. I hit the fourth floor. Feel like I'm on. Yeah. It's still feel like I'm 10, don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to figure it out.
I feel like that every day too. And I mean, I know I'm only 33, but still, I like don't even know what that is supposed to feel like as I approach my 34th year coming up in April. But I still every day I'm like, what are we supposed to feel like? What's an adult supposed to do? Like, I'm trying my best.
Just trying to do all the adult things while having some fun, basically.
Yeah.
It's all K's and pensions. And yeah.
That student loan joke you made at the beginning, I was like,
yeah, it's too real. It's real life
too
horror.
Too real.
Come on, Papa Trump, get rid of that. Get rid of that. We don't
Trump,
need
do something.
They might get rid of property taxes in Florida, which would be huge. But I think they're only getting rid of it because the politicians don't want to pay it because they have like 7 houses. They're like, right.
I
guess we'll pass it to everybody else.
I mean, I still live in California and Trump hates California. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to be annexed.
Yeah. We're goners.
Yeah. 100%. Other than that, I think we can move on to today's episode. One close to my heart.
Yay.
This is Battle Royale from 2000, which actually, if it just would have been called Battle Royale 2000, actually, that would have been kind of cool. It's a Japanese action cult movie directed by Kenji Fukasaku. Fukasaku had directed a lot of movies in his day, and this was actually his last movie before trying to direct part two of this one. Oh my. Part two of this movie. And he directed it with his son. His son is actually, I think, the screenwriter on this one, if I remember correctly. Before I get into have a little bit of history with this movie, and as I discovered the history on this movie kind of made sense, I think I discovered it like back in like 2000 and maybe 2006, 2007. I could have been given like a burned copy or something like that. And my friend Steven gave it to me. And with unabashed shame, I could say I stole this from my friend and I never gave it back to him. And I still own that copy. And thank you, Steven.
Are you still friends with Steven?
Yeah, Steven's still a good friend of mine. Steven always shows up and he just bought a house. So congratulations.
Congrats. Steven. That's a huge accomplishment. Congrats, Steven.
Yeah, and I never gave it back to him. I still have that original copy. I made copies
the
of
copy
it for myself.
You stole, you still have.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love this movie. This movie is so good.
This is a solid movie. I mean, you always have great choices and we know that. So, yeah.
Not always. Not always. We could always go back to there's some on our list.
Well, I think notoriously I'm the one that's always choosing stupid shit, but that's sort of just who I am.
But if it wasn't for you, you have reinvigorated my love for the most ridiculous movies you can possibly find.
Yes.
Because those have the weirdest premises. All right, like, as an example, upcoming, we will be doing Tangent coming in. We will be doing Wrong Turn 2. I was doing my research for Wrong Turn 2, I came across this movie called The Outer Wild that apparently was supposed to be Wrong Turn 2 on some website.
Okay,
and I was like,
interesting.
This is a Wrong Turn 2. Exactly. Premise. The whole premise is better on paper. There's a star in the sky. All the women disappear. All the men become monsters. There's some women left over and this woman's on the run. That's great on paper. It's a piece of shit movie. But on paper, I'd watch that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you did for me, Courtney.
Okay. Well, you're welcome.
Now I'm just looking for all sorts of weird shit. It's great.
No, I mean, I just was like, we need to like drop in another Wrong Turn movie. Like, it's been a minute.
No, it's coming up. We were going to do Wrong Turn 2 a long time ago. And
long
I was just
ago.
Like, oh. But then I did a deep dive on all the Wrong Turns. So I'm all caught up almost. So that we could talk about it. Mm-hmm, 100%. I'm there with you. So back to the movie. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
We like to keep our movies in like the 50% range, but every once in a while we're going to knock out a banger. 7.5 on IMDb, 81% on Metacritic, and 86% of Google users all in all, this movie's a banger. And anybody who comes across this movie tends to like it. It has a little bit of everything. And it's technically considered an action movie. But I think these action scenes are more horrific than they actually need to be. And considering that our cast is supposedly made up of all 15-year-olds, it makes it even more horrific.
Yes.
The premise is that 42 ninth graders are sent to a desert island and are given a map, food, and weapons. And they are told that it is kill or be killed. And if they don't want to participate, they will be executed with explosive neck collars that they have all been given. And only one survivor will leave the island. This is under what the government has deemed the Battle Royale Act, as a law put into place to deal with juvenile delinquency, because apparently this is supposed to be some like near future post-apocalyptic time, which I didn't really get that, but that's what you're told in the beginning of the movie. All in all, this movie has amazing action scenes, so a little bit of drama, light comedy, and I think it has a little bit of something for everybody. Courtney, What are some more of your initial thoughts?
I loved it. I really did. Now, the only version I could find was on Tubi. So I'm a little bummed I didn't get to watch the Japanese version with English subtitles. I got the just English like subbed. So that bums me out because I always think that you need to watch a film in its intended language. But regardless of that, I truly enjoyed it. I like that it was straight in. Like, because there isn't much other, the plot is the plot. Like, that's the movie. So there doesn't need to be any more, like, beating around the bush or anything. They're like, we're going in. This is the game. Here you go.
I love it. I don't need half an hour of, like, a build up. No. Even though they do take, like, 20 minutes to get there. But by the 20th minute, you already know where you're going. As opposed to other movies where it's, like, half an hour where they're divulging the background. And I guess this is a mysterious house that I inherited from my great grandmother that I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
You know, and like, so and then like, hit the ground running.
And like, when you said the fact that this is, yes, it's ninth graders, which takes a completely different tone. And, you know, the couple of reviews that I did read, I realized that like some people kind of like really might have hated this because it is extremely violent. It is very gory. But so I guess when you're thinking it is children, yes, it can be deeply uncomfortable.
100%. And forgot to mention I forgot to put the trigger warning in the beginning of this, and it's in my notes right here. I'm sorry, 100% trigger warning for child violence, a little bit of SA, and if you are turned off by those things, please just hit us up on the next episode. Apologies about that. Continue, Courtney. Sorry about that.
No, but you're good. Because correct, trigger warning. But what I wanted to ask you, as someone that I believe has more knowledge in Japanese art, because I don't have much. So I think like, I guess I'm just like trying to what makes sense of like, as a Westerner watching something like this, that would be like, wow, this is extremely violent, extremely gory. This like children, because they get into this and they all quickly realize that like one person has to live. And it does start with like clicky as you would, like, this is my best friend, this is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend. But as the movie continues, you're like, but only one of us gets to live. So like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like at some point, like.
That's what makes it so good.
I know. Yes. I love it. So I, as horror fans, like I loved it. I was like, this is a very great idea for a movie. I know it's a book. I really want to read the book. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is like, can you kind of make light at any sort of like what it like in Japanese culture, what it kind of means?
Actually, good question. I cannot.
Okay, like, that's fine. I'm fuck those.
Other than like with manga, like maybe that just a lot of the best series all have to do with maybe child protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just part of their culture. Like a child medium has to use child protagonists. Maybe I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe that's, I'm just putting two and two together. But I mean, there's also other really good, like other good mangas and series that don't have child protagonists. But like, I can name a few. I haven't read all of them. Like Naruto, child protagonist, right?
Yeah.
He's a boy ninja, right? And then of course he grows up. Full Metal Alchemist, he's a kid. And I've only seen like maybe like the main ones. Was I've seen some of One Piece, Luffy. He's a kid, but he wants to be the best pirate in the world. The Evangelion, the story centers around a boy who's in the giant clone representation of his mother that has to fight aliens called angels. Like, and that one's not even funny. That one's just messed up like altogether.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of them are child protagonists. And so this book, I don't know if it's going off the heels of that, like, or it's just something maybe the author at the time. I actually didn't look into the author. I did just finish the book. Obviously, an English translation of the book. Do I feel it is great? No. But other than that, I probably should have looked a little bit more into that. But the only other thing is I could say that it did hit home with the director, Kinji, when he read the book in 99, when the book had just come out, and it resonated with him because it gave you the strong divide between children and adults. And I feel like this doesn't really do it that much in the movie, because sometimes when I think of a divide, I feel like it's them versus the children versus the adults. So I felt like the movie didn't really, the theme is there with children versus adults. And then the director kind of was taken back to a time where he had no trust for adults, because apparently this director was old when he made this movie, Kinji. During World War II, he worked in an ammunition factory and was bombed, and I believe was buried under some of the corpses of his friends. So that is a movie in itself, and I don't know how this guy.
That's crazy.
So when he read this book, he was just like, it took him back to that time where he had no trust for adults because of something the government had said at the time during the war, where he basically lost all faith in people older than him. Which I'm like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know if it's just because also we were all children at once, and that is one of the most relatable things possible. You know, we all went to school. We all had friendships. We all had loves. We all had hates. We all, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that vibes with me about this movie is that, like, oh yeah, they're high schoolers, but none of them look like they're in high school. Like, they all have high school drama. They all have, like, high school thoughts. And like whatever, they're playing basketball or whatever, but like they all look like they're in their mid-20s. So I'm okay with the violence in here, you know, like, because none of them look like they're supposed to be 15. They're not even supposed to be like 18. You know how some of these like movies sometimes, especially in the United States, like, oh yeah, they're in high school, but they're all 18 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, they're all like, they all just graduated. Oh, they're about to graduate, you know? Like, oh mom, don't wait, I'm 18 now, whatever. No, like, these kids are specifically supposed to be 15, and I think they're even supposed to be, or 16, and I think they're supposed to be younger in the book, which I'm like, oof, because the book does not shy away from any of their traumatic histories, especially with the ESA, especially in regards to like Misuko character, because the book goes, it gives a little bit more in the background of them or whatever. So, and hers is one of the most tragic. So, like, yeah, the fact that they're like 15 or they're younger when that's supposed to fucking happen is horrific.
That's what I mean when I'm saying, like, that's a very normal thing in Japanese culture and also Japanese youth. So that's why I brought up the question, like, as far as, like, you're watching these children murder each other. Like, that's the point of this movie. It's just children murder.
And child that's murder. The reason this movie, going back to it, it wasn't released in the United States for 10 years. This movie didn't make it to the United States until 2010, because any distributors who saw it at the time were just like, we can't sell this to anybody.
Like, we can't do it.
I mean, but then again, like, I don't know. I grew up in the age of like crazy action movies, you know, where like, Three Ninjas, where it was three kids who had, you know, martial arts expertise fighting a bunch of bad guys you know, because they were going to rob something or they were trying to, you know, take over their grandpa or kidnap them or whatever. So just like, yeah, child protagonists already in violent circumstances regardless. So like, but yeah, I understand completely. Looking at it from a, what I would give you is a clean palate and not desensitized like myself. But yeah, 100%.
I loved this movie. Like, this is a movie I would watch again. Like, and I would share it. I like, to someone, I'd be like, oh, if you haven't seen this movie, I would suggest that you watch it. But I now need to go find the actual Japanese version of it.
Yeah, I'll just lend it to you. Oh, yeah, I don't. Yeah. Wait, sorry, we don't live in the same city anymore. But yeah,
we live on opposite sides of the country.
But this is okay.
I can find it. I'm sure I can find it. Like, this was just sort of like, oh, I have to watch this movie as we do, and so I just went to Tubi, which is like my go-to because it was on there. And then as also, I'm watching it, like, yeah. I'm like, oh shit, it's the English subbed, not the Japanese version.
Not a great sub. I've seen this movie,
and I can gather that.
I've seen this movie a few times, and what really annoyed me was the Shuya character, the main protagonist, who his dub was probably the worst because it, like, the, like, he looked, he sounded bored, or he just had just the lamest voice, and I was just like, dude, you're killing me here. And I've seen this movie a lot where I was just like, dude, I know these lines through and through, and like the inflection, like, you're just not giving it right now. Unfortunately, the version that's also on Amazon Prime, you can't change it to the original version, so you can only watch the dubbed version on there. And this is this is a high def version, so the quality on this, I don't think I've ever seen on this movie. Like, my version is old, and I was watching this, and there was things in here, like the clarity on this, I've never seen on this movie before, which was kind of nice. Other than that, is that this also version has 8 extra minutes of there, so it has more background on Mitsuko with her traumatic history, and all the basketball scenes that was not in the original theatrical cut. That's the only thing about the book I could say is nice, is the background on the characters and how you learn a little bit about them, and how about their physical prowess is like one of the main concerns in the book. Because in this one, you do run across like the main characters. Who we got? We got the hacker, we got Shuya, and we have another boy who is kind of like left out, but apparently he's supposed to be like the martial arts expert, and they're all like the main three boys, where they're like, well, one of them is going to come out on top, and they're how they're all on baseball and they're all in basketball and all this BS, and are like, oh well, they're the most, I guess, if you were like, if it was betting, like all the adults were like, well, they're the most suited to win, which is all left out of the movie. The movie's more streamlined. They take out a little bit of the narrative, maybe to the benefit of the story itself, because like, I don't think this movie really needs anything. Like, I'm not looking at this movie other than like, I just want more of the movie, you know?
Yeah, no, like, it delivers. It absolutely delivers. Like, if you are a horror fan, like I said, I would 100% suggest this, because it is violent and it is gory. Now, maybe some of like the weaponry, like, in it was lacking sometimes. I don't know. Like, that would be like my, I guess, like one critique. But I wasn't mad at it. It didn't ruin the experience.
If I remember correct, in the book, there is this like, you all have profiles and we gave you weapons based on your profile. In this dubbed version, I feel like it left it out. And it's one of those things where like, the game is rigged to begin with.
Yes.
There's very little chance. There's like a what? 1% chance of you winning or something like that. Like, out of all these people. So like, hence, yeah, mama, I know she's loving this right now. She's just like, she's trying to jump. She's trying to learn how to crawl and stuff. So she's just like her practice. So like Cordy, you get a pot lid based on your profile. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with pot lid? It's
like, I'm going to go hide in a tree.
You know, like, what am I supposed to do with pot lid? But then like, you know, the big boy at the beginning of the movie, he gets a bow and arrow. I'm like, what is he supposed, like, come on, it's totally unfair. But like, you said, it's almost like they don't want you to win in the first place. So Shinji, he's the hacker. And then it is Hiroki, he was the martial arts expert. He's the guy who goes after the other girl at the end of the movie, who's been like, has the tracker, and he finds her at the end. And he's just like, I just came to tell you I love you, which is like a high school thing altogether.
Yeah. And that's, I did enjoy that part of it. Cause yeah, like there is that little, like, I've never told this person I have a crush on them. And like, that was your motherfucking time.
You know, like, I mean, I get it too. Cause I remember having strong feelings when I was in high school, even though like you look back and you're like, oh, I was so silly. I was so stupid.
So stupid. But we all did. We were like, I'm going to marry him.
So like at the end of that, if it's literally your last 3 days, you're like, well, I guess I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go find Ming and tell her how I feel. And that was traumatic, because then like he gets shot by the girl that he was coming after.
That was just heartbreak. You're like, your heart breaks for the young soul. We're like, damn it.
The best part was just like, she was just like, dude, you never talked to me.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't even know you liked me. What's your deal?
Yeah. Like, and then he's just over there like, I've longed for you like this whole time. And you're like, well, yeah, we're in a really fucked up situation. So sorry.
I like the other version of that where the girl's like, or the other person just like, dude, not now. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, head in the game, you know?
And I feel like I would be that person. I'd be like, sorry, not, nope, we're moving along.
Yeah, cool. Let's wrap
it up. No time for kissy-kissy romance. I don't want to die.
Yeah, it was very Romeo and Juliet, because right after that, Mitsuko just shows up, and then he's just like, you got to run because you just shot me. Now people are going to know where you are, which is great, you know? Because he's still trying to save her, even though he's dying. And then she gets shot in the back, and they very lovingly, like Romeo and Juliet, are just on top of each other, you know, just dying. Which was, this movie's got everything. It's got action. It's got drama.
Truly has everything.
Yeah, like, and then some weird, bizarre comedy with the character of Kitano, who's the teacher, who does this really bizarre death scene. The whole like he dies and he comes back to answer the phone, sort of a deal. Completely improvised, like completely made up for this movie. Spectacular.
I know, I caught that and I was like, that was silly. I liked it.
It was great. It was so good. I don't know, Cordy. I got things to say. Where do you want to start? I don't even know. Like, let's see what other.
I mean, this is your choice. Like, absolutely, like, go for it. What do I got to say? I guess if you, again, go back to, like, comparison, I think in a Western society, the closest thing we have to this is that book they all made us read about the kids on the island.
Hobbit?
What?
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. So that is like my go-to comparison, I think, because that's the easiest one to be like, oh yeah, like. But that is completely different in the sense that these boys just kind of did that on their own. Like they were just stranded. And then they end up being like awful to each other, which is a completely different concept. Where this is like, no, you're forced. You have to play this game. Only one person lives.
That's really weird that you said that, because I'm actually reading that right now. I'm like almost done with it.
It's a fantastic book.
I was never made to read it in high school, so I was just like, and I remember watching the movie when I was a kid. And you're right, there is a similar comparison with it. And the interview with the author, was it William Golding or something like that? I can't remember. It's just that he was just like, yeah, I wrote this because it was kind of like a reflection of society, and like basically like these are what kids would do. And he's often been like criticized by not putting any girls in there, and he's just like, well, I don't know any girls, or like, I don't know that perspective, but I was a boy and I was a father and I was a son, so I can write about what I know, and it has nothing to do with sexism. I'm just writing what I know. Which,
and
I was,
that's
like
the first, sorry to cut you off, but that's like the first rule of writing. Write what you know.
That's not bad.
And it's not bad. And that's like people that want to say that about that movie or his book, it's just one of those people that wants to find something like, oh, you're not being diverse. Like, what about women? What about little girls? Like, no, it's not the fucking story he's telling. Like, relax. Right, Alora? She don't want to be on that island anyway.
I mean, if you want the female version of Lord of the Flies, you can just watch the 3 seasons of Yellow Jackets. It's spectacular. Like, it is basically... Yeah. That is...
I was like, that, I was going to go a different way. I was like, that shit would be like way fucking worse, I bet. Like, and actually, you know what? I don't know.
I love season one of Yellow Jackets. It is so good.
Women can come together. And we could probably, like, we'd probably come together on our little island and be like, oh, there's no men here? Cool.
Let's watch season one of Yellow Jackets.
I haven't watched it, but I need to.
It's on Netflix right now. So it's easy to get to. But
there's no men here. Cool. We don't have our natural predator. Let's.
It's funny how you mentioned that. It's funny because you say that. So, like, the women are at a complete disadvantage in this Battle Royale because, like, yeah, all the boys just are you're more physically dominant, except for Chikusa, who's just like Chikusa's physical prowess is like she's a runner. So she's the fastest person on the island, right? So, like, that's her whole thing. So. Somebody comes across her, you know, you can't outrun her, which is spectacular. And then going to the lighthouse where all the best friends end up, they all end up with guns. They're all given guns, as opposed to Shuya was given a pot lid. So I guess it just tried to balance out in that sense where, you know, it kind of, you know, evens the playing field if you can make it that far. But then you have one of the characters of, what was her name? So going back to like the profile thing, they do give them profiles and they give them weapons based on that. The girl who has the poison, she has a whole backstory of like poisoning people in the book. So she's given poison on the island. But I'm like, all right, whenever you're going to use that, she just happens to set off this whole thing, which I think is one of the best scenes in the movie. The whole paranoia thing where like,
yeah,
who poisoned who? And yeah, we have all these guns in the room and like all of a sudden all your fears and your paranoias and your grievances come out like, fuck, Courtney, I never liked you. You're always acting like the boss all of a sudden. And it was just, and those girls did a phenomenal, like, oh, I love it. And yeah, that's actually a really interesting point that you make about man being their natural predator. I didn't even think about that. So then going to the Masuko character, she actually uses her sexuality as a device.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like glossed over in like one of the montages where like you sort of see this scene where she gets up and she puts on her clothes and there's two boys that are undressed, but they're both dead. She's like, obviously you can put it together. You don't need a whole scene there.
Yeah, no. You're like, yep, got it. Like you don't need any nudity. Like I would have been, yeah.
But this is great because, like you said, some of these cultures some of this stuff might be over-sexualized. They left all that stuff out. You know, they just gave you enough of it.
Yes.
To just like, let's move on with this movie. Let's make this movie that much better.
Exactly. And that's what I like about it. Like it moves really effortlessly. It's enjoyable to watch.
100%. Let's see what else we got. Yeah.
I mean, no, you go.
No, what were you going to say?
I'm like, if you wanted to draw another comparison, like I know Squid Games is Korean, but like Squid Games and it's adults, but you know, they're numbered and they're brought into this thing and they don't know that it's like to the death, but you know, one person has to win.
Yes, of course. That's what I was going to say. Thank you for reminding me was that, this movie like spawned.
This movie, you could watch this movie again. And for me and coming into it and never seen it before. Of course you'd be like, oh, Squid Games, because that's like the most relevant thing right now in like 2025 for that. But this was obviously clearly its predecessor. I'm like, well, okay, Squid Games, I see you.
There's people who like have made like references and be like, this movie kind of like spawned the battle royale genre. I mean, there are movies like The Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah.
And like a bunch of action movies where like people are hunted on an island and things like that. I think it's one of the better ones? 100%. This is one of the better ones. Oh, but when you say reference to another book, I'm surprised you didn't say Hunger Games. I'm like, I thought.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Wrote it down, but like, because it is kids, but you can volunteer. You get chosen, but you can also volunteer.
I mean, there is a lot of discussion out there whether the author who wrote The Hunger Games, whatever, I forgot her name completely, basically stole the concept of Battle Royale, because it is very similar. Dystopian future, kids put to fight each other, totalitarian governments, you know, it's...
I'm sure it did, because at what point are we not like taking stuff from other cultures and being like, it's ours now?
I mean, other than she saying that, well, I've never heard of this before, I'm like, maybe give her some credit, because like, I had never heard of Battle Royale before. I had never heard of the book before. You know, I didn't even know it was a book for a long period of time.
But do you not do a little bit of research ever? Like, if you're sitting down and like, I have this great idea, I'm going to write this, and I'm really feel like you wouldn't research a little bit to see what's out there?
Every once in a while, like, I'll, okay, like, if there's...
But no, I will give her benefit of the doubt, because Hunger Games is, like, obviously very successful.
Yeah, but it is very similar. It was super similar.
Super
like,
similar.
I mean, other than, like, just the opalescence of, like, Hunger Games, and it's just, like, very extravagant and ornate, you know? Like, I get it. I did the Battle Royale book. And the translation, I mean, I don't know Japanese, so I don't know if the translation is accurate, but it was a little bit wanting. It was kind of boring, you know, like, it's, you are in the mind of these kids, and their backgrounds are interesting, but going to the book from the movie, I was only in it for the kills. I just wanted to see how different it was, and if it was at all like spectacular, interesting, and just like I was kind of over it after a while, you know.
Yeah, but also I've truly never seen any of the Hunger Games. Is it gory? Is it super violent?
It's a little violent, yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, that's, I mean, other than like, I will take 42 kids on a desert island trying to murder each other, as opposed to like, I think in Hunger Games, like 12, two kids from each district or whatever, or 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
And each, you know, some kids are more physically, you know, capable than others because they come from well backgrounds. It's actually a good, I got an example of classism. Basically, like, if you come from a working class family, yeah, I don't have time to be like a good, you know, archer, even though I think she's a really good archer or whatever. Or like, I don't have a time to like learn sword fighting because I got to go farm the fields or whatever.
Right.
But I might be really strong at chopping wood. So maybe that's my, you know, maybe that's where I exceed, you know, and I can throw an axe all of a sudden because I just chop wood all day because we come from a working class family, mama. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, I mean, yeah, maybe I have to give Hunger Games like a watch if it's actually decent. Because for whatever reason, I don't know if it was just like the marketing when those movies were coming out. It must have been the marketing. Because I put Hunger Games right next to like how I feel about Twilight, where I was like, I don't think that's for me. And then just like shoved off the side.
I think that's a very accurate description, 100%. The only thing I could tell you is that part one is pretty cool. The only thing I tried to give all of them a watch because, I don't know, sometimes I like to complete everything. So hence, we'll do all the Wrong Turn movies, you know. But like, I got into part two, and I just couldn't do it because there's all this talk about like the main character. Oh, she's the one who's going to bring all the things together. And I'm like, really, man, she's girl's like 15. What does she know about bringing like communities together? Like,
really? She doesn't know shit about life. Like, she might be cool. She might be cool. She could fight. Good person. But like, come on, we're going to rely on a 15-year-old.
And I'm sorry, somebody can fight me on that.
Look, so you can fight us on that, because I just admitted it. I'd never seen it. I don't know the books. Like,
yeah, that's fine. You can tell me how she's a good example of rebellion,
please,
or whatever. But like,
enlighten us about how Katniss is gonna say. I know her name, right? Katniss is going to save the people, and she has a love triangle with PETA, and there's another one, right?
Yeah, the boy she has a crush on at work or whatever, at home or whatever.
Is one of them a Hemsworth?
Yeah.
See, I know some things.
But like, like, I'm like, if I was running a rebellion, right, against a totalitarian government, right, am I going to, like, really gamble on, like, this 15-year-old? Be like, that's her. That's the one. She's no. like, I'm not in this war for 20 years. You know, I've just been waiting for this one 15-year-old girl to come by and just tell me what to do. You know, like, I'm not saying that. I'm just like, really going to weigh everything on all your eggs in one basket?
Too much hormones. She's too stupid.
Well, it's just like, I don't know. I figured like they would have had like 20 years of planning and like, you know, like there's all these other people that are well, smart and capable in your outfit that might be able to do a better job. I'm just saying, you know.
And I'm just saying from a perspective of like, I've been a 15-year-old girl, like who's had a crush on two boys probably at the same time. So I'm like, I can tell you probably what was more on my mind.
Yeah.
Like, wait, I gotta save the world. But like, this guy's cute.
I mean, so like the same thing, like I will give it to them. Cause like, I think it's that PETA likes her, but she doesn't like PETA. But they have to do like the whole like, make yeah. it look like they're.
Like PETA's the better match for her, right?
I'm not sure if that's true.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing. Like, PETA's the better match and PETA loves her, but she loves the Hemsworth because he's hot.
Well, what was it? It was like, and he's like a baker, right? So he can't fight, but he's able to like.
He's an essential worker.
He's able to like camouflage himself to blend into rocks at one point in the story because he knows how to paint. So he like paints himself into like camouflage, and that was his. So he hides out for. I'm like, yeah, that's not a bad plot line. Wait, there was a prequel movie that came out, and it was actually pretty good.
Hunger Games made money.
A Hunger Games, a Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, actually pretty dope. I actually saw it. It was actually kind of fun and entertaining because it's just battle royale. It's just
yes.
Kids from different classes murdering each other. And that sounds horrible when I say it out loud, you know?
But like, let's bring it back to actual battle royale, at least with Hunger Games. Maybe we're forgetting that it is kids because obviously it's like Jennifer Lawrence and I cannot remember the other actor's name, but I know he does a great job and Hemsworth. So it like takes you out of the fact that like, oh yeah, this is like kids. Whereas you go back to this movie, the Japanese battle royale, like, you're just going all in. These motherfucking 15-year-olds are killing each other, and it's gory as fuck, and it's violent.
That's the other thing, dude. It's like 15-year-olds or people in their 20s acting like 15-year-olds, but it is extremely gory. And, like, and some of them are a little bit glossed over because, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of gun battles in this one. But what was it? And it's unfortunate too, because like the main antagonist. Oh, what's the matter? You want me to see if you want to lay down? You want to go sit down? 1 second.
Yeah. Nope. Dad has to dad, everyone. Dad has to dad. Got to put that baby to sleep. Parenting seems hard. So shout out to all the parents. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll be ready for that. I feel like I'd be a good mom.
You'd be a great mom. Let's see here.
It's not for the weak, as Ming says. It's not for the weak.
All right. Let's see if she's. Let's see if she's taking. Perfect. She's taking it. She was finding it earlier. Okay. So the main antagonist, Kiriyama. The difference between him in the book and the movie, which I thought was actually really interesting, is that both exchange students that are in the movie. To add it to the movie because like, oh, well, we got to put two wild cards in there to really get things going, which I just thought was really good premise. But they're actually both in the book. They're actually both students in their class. And actually Kawada did survive 1 year and he like plugged himself into that class so he can actually like try to bring down the game from the inside, which was like, oh, it's all cool. That's great. It's kind of glossed over in the movie a little bit because it just happens really quickly. But yeah, Kiriyama, the main guy, the guy with the hair who looks like an anime character, is like, he is supposed to be like that, like one of the guys in like the gang of bullies, which again, glossed over, would have been nice if it was in the movie, mm-hmm. But he has like head trauma. So he's like, he just becomes kind of like a bit of a sociopath because he had like, he was in a car accident and he has like a piece of wood lodged in his brain. And now he just feels nothing for anybody. So it makes him like the coolest kid in the bullies, but he's also completely detached emotionally. So he's only playing the game because he's got nothing to do.
I guess you put it that way, like he's just completely detached. It's like, yep.
Yeah. And in the movie, he looked like, you know, Kiriyama really revels in his violence, right? He loves going to town. He loves just murdering people, which is like, you love it. You love it. You like, I always thought it was a really interesting approach that he didn't talk at all. It was great. In the movie, in the book, there's like a big old gunfight scene. Like, yeah. And that was the other thing too. In the book, all the guns are very specifically explained, their class, where they're from, their type. And there's also that really sense of the totalitarian government where Shuya has a really big history on music. And all the music he wasn't allowed to listen to, especially American Western music, and how he loves it, and how he's constantly just referencing, you know, Bruce Springsteen in the book because that's freedom, brother. I'm like, I don't know. But yeah,
But
Kiriyama.
that, yes, like if that's the only reference they have for American culture, yes, Bruce Springsteen would be freedom.
Yeah, and Bob Marley. And I'm like, Bob Marley, really? One Love? You really gotta put that in that book? All right, I guess. I mean, but to a 15-year-old, that would mean everything, right? Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely.
The only other thing is that they left out a gay character in the movie, which I was just like, I mean, I could see why, because he's not a great character. He's like a little bit of a villain. So like you don't want that sort of villainization
You don't
of
want to
that
villainize
culture.
that community.
Yeah, which was like, I could see that, but he was kind of an interesting because he was really smart. He was like following Kiriyama the entire time because he's just like, well, I'm just going to follow the baddest guy on the island. And as he kills everybody, I'll just show up and just shoot him in the back of the head and I'm done. But he gets the one up on, I forgot this guy's name, and Kiriyama just like leads him to a danger zone. He kills him without actually having to kill him. It's actually kind of cool. Other than that, like, yeah, there's some other interesting parts of the book. Like that was kind of nice. But like again, I'm like, you don't have to make this really interesting, like bad character gay. Like that's just kind of shitty on you. Like
Yeah.
he could just be
He could
shitty.
just be a shitty bad character. He doesn't like
Yeah. That
there's no
was
need to be
silly.
gay.
Yeah. That was lame. Would have been interesting to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go watch it. I don't know.
100%. Go watch this. We did mention that you can do Amazon Prime or Tubi, but it is the English dubbed version. I need to do a little bit more research and maybe can find the Japanese version because I would love to watch that. Once again, I truly
So well
believe
acted.
you should
So.
watch a movie in its intended language because there's just so much more emotion and expression through the intended language, like especially Japanese, like really any language, but we're talking about Japanese in this specific movie that you don't get. Like you miss it so much when you don't get to hear the Japanese part of it and you just get the English subbed. And so that was a bummer, but it's still 100% go watch this movie.
Yes. Oh, one more thing was that anybody who watches it ends up really liking this movie. So the fact that it was left out of like American hands for a long time was kind of unfortunate. But like Quentin Tarantino, like the year he saw it, he like rated it like one of the best movies he had ever saw. So much to the point that he put Chigusa in Kill Bill. Like the actress that plays Chigusa, the girl can run really fast. She is Yo-Yo in Kill Bill. It's
I
also
mean,
referenced a bunch in other movies, not to mention one of your favorites, Wrong Turn 2. The
we're gonna get there.
director in Wrong Turn, Michael, please call me M, in Wrong Turn 2 is wearing a Battle Royale shirt. In Shaun versus the Evil Dead, there is a Battle Royale poster in the background. Because I don't think it was kept out of the UK, and it wasn't
No.
kept out of South America, and it wasn't kept out of Australia, but it was kept out of America.
That's so
So
funny you
like,
mentioned that. I was like literally watching Wrong Turn 2 last night. I didn't even catch that. Cute.
it's this movie like has a following, like
No, not, I bummed that I never seen it until now. But that's what I knew when you had mentioned it. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good one. Like, I know it's going to be a good one. And of course, when you mentioned Tarantino, this is Tarantino written all over it. Like, no shit, that guy would be like, yeah, this movie rules.
Yeah, it's and we didn't even touch on like the topics of like, or the, oh, she knocked over the mic. We didn't really even hit the themes of like on the head about like the government and kids versus adults and all stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Plays over. To me, like that, those are like the least interesting parts of the movie other than like, I really like the action. I really like the drama. But the other, what I was going to say was even though this movie is a huge cult following, when Kinji's son decided to make part two and Kinji passed in the making of part two, not a great movie. Part two is a slog.
Okay, because I did see part two on Tubi and I was like curious about it. Maybe yeah. I'll give it a watch just because, yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah. No, part two is basically... At the end of part one, you have Noriko, which we completely left out of this conversation, the female lead, and Shuya run off. Because now they are fugitives because they have, I guess, didn't succeed. And they are escapees from the Battle Royale thing. And they're presumed to be, well, they're convicted or in pursuit because of the death of Kitano, the teacher, or the in the book, it's a different...
They're sorry if you can hear that, but no, yeah, it's something like you're saying, they're wanted for
the death of
the death of this person, yeah.
And now, yeah, well, and then they become like symbols of the rebellion, and then Shuya is on his own island with his own rebels. And in the Battle Royale 2 or Battle Royale Act 2 is basically getting a bunch of other ninth graders to go after him in like Full Metal Fatigues against their will. And it's not even like that interesting, but I could sort of see after like looking at the sort of conversation that, or like the interview with Kinji about like this time in World War II, or Battle Royale 2 is more of a war movie.
Mm-hmm.
Through and through. And like now that kind of makes more sense to me. It's just not very interesting. Like, okay. Yeah, at all.
Well, good to know. At least everyone go watch the first one. If you haven't already, like Edgar was pointing out that this movie has influenced a lot of people.
Yeah. And anybody concerned, my baby can't hear anything Courtney's saying because she's on headphones. Yeah.
Go watch Battle Royale.
Have a good... Oh, I forgot to put in the tagline. You've made a wrong turn and you're in the right place. Welcome to the Horror Movie Podcast. Wrong turn. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. See you guys
soon.
I did
all the other intro parts. I was like, I left the most important one out. Yeah. We're going for a walk. Yeah. So you want to see... Hi, Auntie. Hi, Auntie Court.